Daniel 1 through 6. Right here, I just read just a little bit out of chapter 6 and what God did in Daniel's life. Babylon was 700 miles from Jerusalem, and we have here Daniel and several other men, young Hebrew men, that from the tribe of Judah. And let me just say that God was mad at Israel, and so he used Nebuchadnezzar to come and conquer Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar actually went to Jerusalem three times. He occupied the city, allowed Jehoiakim, which was Josiah's son, to rule as his puppet king. He takes some of the temple treasures and the key royal seed to Babylon. And among this group of teenagers were Daniel and his three friends. The second time that King Nebuchadnezzar, conquered Jerusalem, he came again and takes the rest of the treasures to Babylon along with Ezekiel, the prophet, and King Jehoiakim, which is Jehoiachin's son, and 10,000 princes, officers, and chief men. The third time he went to Jerusalem in 586 BC, he once more returns to punish the rebellion led by Zedekiah, Judah's last king. This time, he destroyed the walls, he destroyed the temple, and he burned down the city. He killed the sons of Zedekiah, and he blinded Zedekiah, and he carried him into Babylon where he dies. As you study and as you go through Scripture, and we'll have a map here of Babylon, and we'll see that, just for you to know, you should know historically and where Babylon is. And Babylon was one of the first, was the first of four great empires in the Middle East and before Christ and even during Christ's life on earth, that they searched out and they went and conquered. And Babylon was the first one. And Babylon is first mentioned in Scripture in Genesis chapter 10 and the Table of Nations and Noah's three sons. The Bible says that Nimrod, there was Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And Cush was the father of Nimrod, who was a mighty warrior before the Lord. And Nimrod founded a kingdom that included a place called Babylon and Shinar. So all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, we find the beginning of Babylon and the Babylonian Empire. Boy, they were good at conquering. They wanted lands, and so they did that. Here we arrive at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 through 4, the king is Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 5, the main character is King Nebuchadnezzar's youngest son, Belshazzar. And now he's the king. And then in Daniel chapter 6, where this happens, the lion's den, Daniel is underneath as a captive in Babylon, the third different king. And the king's name was Darius. And he was a king from Medes, the Medes and the Persians, which is the second major empire. And so you had the Babylonian Empire, you had the Medes and the Persians, and then as time went closer to Christ being born, you had the Greeks, and they were very good at conquering, and then you had the Roman Empire, which brings us to the birth of Christ and to B.C. But a lot happened here at in Babylon. See, Daniel, the word Daniel means God is my judge. His three friends that he had were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names mean the grace of the Lord, he that is the strong God, and the Lord is a help. They changed their names. Their names were changed once they got to Babylon, 700 miles away. To Daniel's name was changed to Belshazzar, which means keeper of the hidden treasures of Baal. Shadrach, and that was Hananiah, his name means the inspiration of the sun. That was a god that they worshipped. They worshipped the sun. The next one, Meshach, was the goddess of Shach. That was also someone that they worshipped. Abednego was a servant of the shining fire. That's also someone that they worshipped. So here they are in a faraway land as captives. And boy, let's see and look tonight into the life of Daniel and how God blessed him with everything that happens. If you're in Daniel chapter 1, I'd like you to turn there. Daniel chapter 1, where we start here in the third reign, year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. This is verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So Jehoiakim was the king of Judah there, and here comes Nebuchadnezzar. God used him because of the judgment that God was passing down on Judah here, and he went and he conquered Jerusalem. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. It was God's doing for the wrong that the Israelites had done. And as we find here, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I'm going to tell just a few stories through these first six chapters, and then we're going to lay the foundation for nine different things that we can learn from the life of Daniel tonight. We're about to take off, and fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. All right. So here's the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel, which is Belshazzar, are sitting here in Babylon, and they're young teenagers. And they were given, they were put with the eunuchs, they were put with, into a house where they were told what to eat, what to dress, and where to go. But Daniel had a purpose, and Daniel had some things in his life that he was not going to partake in. I will say that he did compromise a little with the name, and but with what comes into his body, he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And so Daniel led these three, and what they did was they requested. They didn't demand, they requested that we change the diet. And the answer was no. And so then Daniel says, listen, let me prove this to you. And so what they did was they did a test. And they ate pulse, they ate a different diet, and they did not eat the king's meat or the wine. And because of that, the Bible says, I love the verse, and they turned out 10 times better. Verse 20, let's look at that. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Because of his diet. And, well, that's amazing. And, you know, that's God, has God written all over it. That's a God thing. And, but they did it right. And, so that was Daniel chapter 1. We go into Daniel chapter 2. And, here King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And his dream, he needed, someone to interpret that dream. And God used Daniel to interpret that dream. And, he had dreamed of a big statue, of a big image of, and the image, there was the head made of gold, and then different, the brass and the silver, and then the legs made of clay and different things. And he didn't understand what that was about. And Daniel, God used Daniel to interpret the dream. So God gave Daniel the revelation of what the dream was about, and Daniel was able to explain that dream to him. And because of that, He found favor because of that. Let's look at verse. Never mind, that's the wrong chapter. That's chapter 3. I'm getting ahead there. He requested the king, and he sat Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of one of the provinces of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So he found favor, and boy, the more you study Daniel, it's like you're looking at the life of Joseph. And boy, it's just similar circumstances, and bound in captivity in a different land, and had to make a stand for right and all that. Daniel chapter 3, here we have the fiery furnace, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now they set up to gather, they made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and breadth therefore was 6 cubits, and set it in the plains of Dura, and in the province of Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar set up this image and said, listen, I want everyone to bow down to it. And like Brother Colton says, they didn't bow, they didn't burn. There's one more, I forgot it. They didn't bend. Yeah, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And those three, I love that song. But they chose not to bow down. And because of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. As they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they wanted it 10 times, and they wanted it hotter and hotter and hotter. And because of that, just the men that were around the fire died. And as you looked in, you saw 4 people. And they came out, and what was said of them? The hair on their head was not singed. Their clothes were not burnt. And this is even more amazing. Okay, I can understand that, but you couldn't even smell fire on them. If you've ever been around a fire, boy, you can smell the smoke. And boy, and I've been around a lot of people who smoke. Not my wife, but other people. And boy, that smoke, secondhand smoke, and boy, it travels. And it gets into the lungs and it gets into clothes. And you can just tell if you've been hanging out with someone that smokes. And it's nasty. And it is what it is. But here they are. And even out of the furnace, nothing. Couldn't even smell that. Wow. Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar now is he's exclaiming God's goodness. In chapter 3, I want you to look at a verse here, verse 15. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Toward the end, So ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of the hands? See, here Nebuchadnezzar is saying, who is the God? Now let's look at see what he says here. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You see, in this world, there's people that will never see Christ. They'll never step into church. We had a girl ride our bus this Sunday to church who'd never been in church before. And that's not too common for us in the bus That is not common at all for us in the bus ministry. Usually someone's been to church before, especially if their parents are allowing them to ride a bus. But there are just people in this world that will never see Christ unless they see Christ in you or the blessings that God gives through your life. Let me just ask a question right here. Has anyone in your life said, wow, the God of Mark Johnson, the God of Gary O'Dell, the God of Miss Diana Regal, that's the God that I want to praise. And boy, this was something, this is a miracle that happened, but it was referred to of the person because of how great the God was. Wow. Daniel chapter 4 here. Now King Nebuchadnezzar, he's exclaiming God's goodness. He's talking about that. And he reveals another dream that he had. And his dream entails a tree that was hewn down, but the stumps and the roots were left. And Daniel interprets that dream and told King Nebuchadnezzar, basically, he needs to stop sinning and break off the sin from his nation. And he decided not to. 1 year later, Nebuchadnezzar, let's look here, chapter 4, verse 29. Let's read this. At the end of the 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king, this is Nebuchadnezzar, spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And boy, it was all about him. It was all about him. Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride. He said, I built this. And sometimes, boy, you can get so comfortable with your job and your 401 and your retirement and everything's going smooth and you can start claiming your own goodness. And that was what Nebuchadnezzar did here of the kingdom of Babylon. So 1 year to 1 year later, this is what he had said. And boy, within the hour he was driven from men. He ate grass as an ox. His hair grew like eagle's feathers. His nails like bird's claws. And after 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar's understanding was returned and he immediately gave God the glory. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Let me just tell you, God was very good at taking you to a place where you need to see Him. Well, that's why you always ought to stay humble. Humble, humble, humble. And Nebuchadnezzar was not. Daniel chapter 5, let's move on to there. So he's no longer the king. So Nebuchadnezzar's youngest son, Belshazzar, became the king. And he had a feast for all of his lords. And there was thousands of them there. And they used the gold and the silver vessels from the temple and that they had taken from the temple. And it's not stated in Scripture, but my guess and my opinion is that God just got really mad. He said, he's thinking these are used for the temple. These are used for holy things. What does the Bible say? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. Holy, holy, holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. And here, King, you're making a mockery of me and you're taking vessels from the temple and you're drinking your wine at a party and getting all drunk. And you're using that which was meant to be holy and you're using it for something that's unholy. I'm mad at you. Here's what happens. And while at the party, fingers formed from a man's hand and wrote on the wall. And they wrote the words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And those were Aramaic words. And those words are words of measures of currency. Mene means to count. It's the root word mina. Shekel means to weigh. And Perez means half a mina, which means to divide. The Bible explains it as this. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, he didn't understand it, so here comes Daniel again. And God gives him the interpretation of what's written up there. And he's basically giving him his own death sentence to the country and the empire of Babylon here under the king Belshazzar. And that night, we know, during the night, the city was overrun and by Darius the Medianite and his army. Then we go to chapter 6. So now we have the king of the Medes. Darius is now the king. And he, the first thing he did was he set up 120 princes over the kingdom and three presidents. And Daniel was favored over the presidents and princes. And the Bible says because of his excellent spirit. And we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but just think about it. Well, we are masters at complaining about everything and we have everything. Imagine, just imagine a rat comes in to Oregon tonight, takes us away, and you're in Baghdad, and you're put in charge. What would your attitude be like? You're put there. I don't think I'd have a good attitude about that. We just got defeated. Well, I'd feel shame. I'd feel, God, where are you? But never in here do we find Daniel with a bad attitude. We find him with the right spirit, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. The other princes and the presidents, they got jealous of how King Darius treated Daniel. And so they tricked him into making a law, and the law stated that no one can pray to another god, or they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And they did that because they knew, right? And Daniel knew that the law was signed and continued his prayer. Let's look back at verse 10 there. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows, being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. No one else is mentioned here. Character is what you do when no one's looking. I don't care what you look like at church. I don't care what you look like in front of public. Let me tell you, when you are by yourself, that is your character. And Daniel here had character, and he was at the place where he needed to go. What the New Testament says, you ought to obey God rather than men. There's just some things in this world that I want to please God just more than men. And we ought to obey God rather than men in many areas. Boy, when someone tells me something that goes against God's word, I'm going to obey God. And we need to be men and women that do that. So here, Daniel, King Darius found out what happened, and he knew he was tricked, but he knew he had signed the decree, so now Daniel must go into that lion's den. And the Bible says that King Darius couldn't sleep that night. They had a good relationship. He cared, must have loved Daniel. And there's probably many reasons. He was probably good at what he did. But I'm going to guess it's because of his excellent spirit. No one likes to be around the negative person, the complainer. And if that's you, no, ain't nobody got time for that. And just move on. But they were good friends. They were good friends. He loved him. And boy, he couldn't sleep. Okay. And he went there in the morning. He went not just early in the morning. The Bible says very early in the morning. And some of you have to do that for work. And my wife's not a morning person. There's some that are. And she says I am. I don't know what I am or not. But sometimes, you know, you wake up, you're just ready, you're whistling. Sometimes you're not. But here he is. He was so worried about his friend Daniel that he went to the lion's den. And he yelled out to Daniel. And Daniel yelled back. And then he took care of other things in his life. I want to talk real quick. I just want to lay that foundation there of the first six chapters in Daniel. the different kings, where Babylon was. Now I want to give you 9 different ingredients for Daniel's success. 9 different ingredients. Number one, he had a purpose. He had a purpose. I see people after people, person after person that walk around with no purpose in life. Or their purpose could be Pokemon, or their purpose could be quilting, or their purpose could be Facebook, or their purpose could be just Xbox, or whatever it is. But there's people without a purpose. But here, you want to find Daniel's success. Number one, he had a purpose. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He had a purpose. David said, is there not a cause? And let me tell you, great leaders and great people who come out of bad circumstances, you'll always find them with a stronger purpose than this bad circumstance that they're in. You get into some trouble, and circumstances are going to come, whether they're man-made, or whether you made them, or they just happen to come along into your life. Listen, if you don't have a strong purpose, let me tell you, if you don't have a strong purpose, that's where suicide comes from. That's where depression comes from. That's where low self-esteem, because there's not a purpose, there's not a plan, there's not a goal for their life. And Daniel here had a purpose. What's your purpose in your life? Well, I got to write it down, and I have it in my office, right on top, right on my board in my office. My purpose, my goal is to keep as many people out of hell as possible. What is yours? What is your purpose in your life? Let me ask you, Daniel had his. He knew that when he was tempted, he knew that when wrong came, that he was going to stand for it. Daniel had a purpose, number one. Number two, he always gave the credit to God. He always gave the credit to God. Chapter 2, let's look in our Bibles here, verse 20. Okay. And verse 20, the Bible says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king. This was after the dream here, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel answered, verse 27, in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Boy, automatically, boy, he could have said that was all me. You know, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. But he always directed and always gave the credit to God. Let me just tell you, great Christians and great leaders always give proper credit where it's due. Always, always, always. And boy, you work in ministry, let me tell you, it's very easy to grab that credit. Boy, it's very easy to take that compliment. And let me just tell you this. And boy, you worked for that job, but who gave you those legs? Who gave you that brain? Who gave you your car? Who gave you your bank account? And who put breath in your lungs? And who gave you legs? And who gave you arms? And who gave you a mouth? And who gave you the ears and the eyes to see? It was God. And Daniel was just saying, you know what? It wasn't me. That was God that did that. And I want to direct you to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Daniel knew that. He's like, that was the God. That was God. And boy, he very well and did a great job at always giving the credit to God where it was deserved. Do you give God the credit or do you take it? Don't be robbing God. Well, there's a lot of things you can rob God from. But one thing tonight, I'll preach tonight, is don't rob God of the credit in your life. Well, I love it. You give someone a compliment, you know. The most common one I love is, boy, God's good. God is good. And boy, that's just saying, you know what? That's me understanding that God had the part in this. And maybe I had a little small part. And let me tell you, it was all God. It was all God. God brought you from where you are. March 13th, 2001, the best day of my life. I asked Jesus in my heart. That was all God. I was just a sinner needing a Savior. And I bowed on my knees on the phone with my pastor. And boy, I asked Jesus in my heart. And I'm saved from hell to heaven. Let me show you, that was all God. Boy, giving me a direction and giving me a ministry to work in, that was all God. That wife that God gave me, that was all God. That wasn't Jeremiah. And let me just tell you what I could come up with. Let me tell you, that was God and what He did in my life. We ought always to give God the credit in our lives. Let me ask you the question, who do you give the credit to? Number one, Daniel had a purpose. Number two, he always gave the credit to God. Number three, he was a prayer warrior. He was a prayer warrior. And trying to find. It's that one paper. Here it is. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel 6:10. I love it. We read it earlier. We've read it several times. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Daniel chapter 2:17. The Bible says here, and when Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel had a prayer life. He had a prayer life. He had a time. He had 3 times a day. They that seek me early shall find me. Every day is a trip. Gas up before the trip. How is your prayer life? I'll tell you, my prayer life is pretty good, but listen, it's something I'm working on every day. And let me just tell you, my mom taught me how to pray. And I'll share this. One thing that my mom does is she'll do pictures. And my mom has pictures of all of our family. And I've done the same thing. I put them in my Bible. And I go through. The first thing I pray for in the morning is for my wife and Alexis. And I pray through my family. I pray for Pastor. And I pray for Miss Vicky, and I pray for my sisters, and I pray for my brother-in-laws, and I pray for families. And I have a prayer list in the back of my Bible and that I pray through. And to have a time, have a place, have a plan for your prayer life. How's your prayer life today? If you're not praying, you're playing. Let me say that again. If you're not praying, you're playing. And the Saturday nights around 9 o'clock, we're going to start meeting here. And we need men and women that will say, you know what, we need the Holy Spirit of God to come down and move and work in the ministries of Grandview Baptist Church. And we invite you to come in. But we ought to be men and women of prayer. And Daniel here, oh, you like the ingredient. You love the chocolate chip cookies, but you don't like the flour and you don't like the oil. Let me just tell you the ingredient, one of these ingredients, these 9 ingredients of Daniel was that he did the work. He had the character, and he prayed when it was not popular. He prayed when it was against the law. He had a time. He had a place. Number 3, we also find out that he taught other people to pray, and he brought people to pray with him. He brought those 3. He said, hey, we got a problem here. Boy, far too often, Brother Vestal, we have a problem, and the first thing we do is we call someone. Or we private message someone. And the first response that we ought to be, we ought to graduate as Christians, is to pray for something. Well, you know there's a need in someone's life. Quit talking about their need. Why don't you grab someone and say, hey, John, come here. Let's pray for Brother Vestal. He has a need here. Let's pray for Brother Cipher. Let's pray for this lady who has cancer. And boy, you get and connect people. Hey, husband's in here. When's the last time you took your wife and just prayed? Say, hey, we're going to pray. Why don't you lead that home? And if you're not praying, you're playing. Let me tell you, poor leaders don't pray, and great leaders do pray. Single mom in here. When's the last time you took your kids? Said, you know what? I'd like to. Let's pray. Let's pray. And boy, you set down that pattern. Number 1, Daniel had a purpose. Number 2, he always gave credit to God. Number 3, he was a prayer warrior. So, an under prayer warrior, number 1, he had a time, he had a place, he taught others to pray. Look at this, Daniel chapter 9. Man, Daniel 9, verse 3. This is convicting. Daniel 9, 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Well, he really cared about prayer. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the nation of Israel. He was talking about his country. But when you pray, when you confess your sins, boy, it's easy to confess ours, but when's the last time that we went before God for the sins of our country and the wrong that we have done as a country? See, that's the difference. We were talking about the other day in staff meeting how, if you're in a boat, and this guy's in the left-hand side of the boat, and this guy's in the right-hand side of the boat. Boy, they're a team. There's a hole in this side of the boat. Let me tell you, that water's going to get to this side. And, boy, sometimes a guy on this side will be like, oh, no, that's his hole. That's over there. No, as a team, let's get that hole plugged. Let me tell you, as a nation, Christians, we don't need to sit in church and just pray for our wrong. We need to pray for the wrong of our country. And who goes to God in supplication? And Daniel's showing us here that, listen, I'm going to have a prayer time. I'm going to have a prayer place. I'm going to teach others to pray. But I personally am going to pray and ask God for the sins of the nation that we have done. We have sinned, verse 5, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in the name to our kings, our princes, and to our fathers, and to the people of the land. So he asked God forgiveness and prayed for the sins of the nation. And here's one more that he prayed for. Verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophet. Daniel said here, We've just flat out disobeyed you. So I'm sorry for that, God. We sit here in America. I know the statement, America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be great, America will cease to be good. The infrastructure of America, the spirituality in homes is depleting. It's depleting. There are many homes without fathers. There's no leaders. No one's teaching. Less and less people are going to church. Righteousness is not being taught. You look at the screens and from Hollywood, you look at commercials and they're selling sex and everything's coming across. And that's a problem in America that we have. But have we gone to God and said, you know what, God, I'm sorry for the sins of my country. Boy, we got some big sins in America. Abortion. The innocent murdering of little babies. Boy, how precious our kids. Right. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And by the millions, our country has said, you know what, I'm going to stamp the approval of killing them inside the womb. And birth starts at conception, and that's a problem. When's the last time you went to God for the sin of the abortions that this country has done? What about laziness? Boy, we got... You read Proverbs, you'll find all about the sluggard. You'll find all about lazy people. It's full of it. That's a big sin. Racism. There's only one race, the human race. And let me tell you, the color of your skin does not determine the love that God gives you, and it should not determine the love that you get while you walk into Grandview Baptist Church. Be it not said that there are people here that are racist in action or in thought. Red and yellow, black and white, I don't care if they come in purple, if their hair looks like they got some cotton candy going on, I don't care, just love them where they're at. What about the wickedness? Sexual perversion. What about same-sex marriage? What about adultery? What about fornication? There's so much that our country now protects when it was once preached again. And here Daniel is just reminding us that we ought, as Christians, to pray for the sins of our nation. Is that on your list? Did it make the list? What about drugs and alcohol? Well, I tell you, that is ruining and destroying homes. And I preach against it and I fight it in the RU program. By the way, RU program is doing well. We go up and down. We fluctuate. We had 41 this past Friday night. We had 13 visitors. We had 5 saved. And boy, we're getting that gospel out. We're giving them the help that they need. We always need helpers. We always need workers. If you're interested in that or if you have a problem, why don't you come on? I know there's people in our church that don't come. They ought to. But here we have the sins of our country. Drugs and alcohol. are ruining the families in our state. Portland's called Heroin City. Overdose after overdose. And boy, I see it almost every day. Boy, from accidents, DUIs, from murders. And let me tell you, the percentage of those that are that drugs or alcohol is involved is extremely high. Clackamas County's bad. Multnomah County's worse. Worse. We need some help. But when did you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for the wrong that we're doing in our life and the wrong that our country's doing? How about not obeying God? Boy, this is a tough one. Tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to have a bus, and we're taking a bus tomorrow. We're going to go soul winning. We're going to get the gospel out. That's a command from God, and those who don't go, that's disobeying God. Boy, I'm not saying you have to go on Thursday. We have plenty of times to go. But if you don't go, that's disobedience of God. Let me tell you, those jail ministries, that's obeying God when you go. Brother Mark, Brother Kenny, Miss Jacqueline, Miss Michelle, Miss Rempel, those that go there. Many other ministries here that go. The bus ministries, you bus captains, you bus workers. Hey, you're directly obeying God. Let me ask you this. Our churches are full of people who never go and never pray and ask God forgiveness for those who don't go. He was a prayer warrior. Number four, he had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. He had all reason. Chapter 6, verse 4, because an excellent spirit was in him. Boy, he got promoted because of his attitude. An attitude of gratitude will determine your altitude. Okay? You got some things to complain about, yes. But compare yourself to someone else. There's always someone who's got it worse than you. There always is. Always is. Hey, you're in your country. You're free to talk. You're free to go. You're free to work wherever you want. You're free to eat your Rice Krispies or I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know, you can have your Fruity Pebbles tomorrow, whatever you like. And that's, we're in a free country. You can do what you want. And with that freedom, most of us complain about something that goes wrong in our life. And Daniel here, he wasn't a complainer. He had an excellent spirit. I love Scripture because of many things. And God's Word. One of them is because some people start off bad and they end good. Right? Some people start off good, end up bad. But we hear the stories and the testimonies, and then we read these stories like, oh, I've done that. And God puts human people in our lives in Scripture to say, okay, you know, visitors come to our church. Boy, they have a wall. They think everyone's perfect. I'm like, well, you didn't sit in my section. And let me just tell you about this person, this person. Hey, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But as we go through here, he had an excellent spirit. I also love the Bible because he does tell us what not to do. But also in Scripture, he tells us what to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's God's will for you to thank God and rejoice when the times are tough, when the times are bad, and when the divorce comes. And when bankruptcy comes and the problems in your life, when cancer comes, it is your job and it's your choice. To rejoice is a choice. It is. Daniel here said he had an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. I love the people in our church that always smile. I think of Carissa Vestal. Excellent spirit. And I know she's had it bad because Derek's her brother. I know. I've thought about that and I've cried some tears because that could have been me. No. But I think of people like Miss Abelina. Excellent spirit. Daniel here had an excellent spirit. Hey, you don't got that job promotion? How's your spirit? How's your attitude? Okay? Turn that frown upside down. Why don't you smile? It makes people wonder. Pretend you're saved. No, seriously, I sit and watch people and I study people, especially when we're singing during church. Tonight, Miss Tina, you were the best. She didn't even hear me, but she's still the best. You watch people, now I know people are tired, but I look at people that sing and I want to see who's singing, because they got some happiness in there. And I looked and I'm like, man, that guy had a rough day. That lady worked hard. I looked at Miss Tina, and boy, she had Jesus in her heart. She was just singing right there. How is your spirit? Let me ask you tonight. Number five, he trusted God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. He trusted God. Let me just say this. The more you trust God, the easier it is to trust God. He lays down that foundation. You raise a kid and you're building trust with kids. And boy, you lay that foundation and you deposit and you deposit and you deposit, because one day you're going to need a withdrawal of them mowing the lawn. And you deposit and you deposit, and God does that in our life. He started at creation. I taught on creation this week in Sunday school, and it's amazing. Everything that God created in the first 6 days, besides man, was God preparing and providing for man before He created man. Oh, yeah. Day three, all the plants. He created sweet tomatoes that day. Oh, the fish and the fowls of the air. Day five, that was your Chick-fil-A. That was your Popeye's chicken. That was your McGrath, right? And then He created McDonald's on day six, right before He created man. But God was saying, listen, I'm going to provide you with son. You can trust me. You can trust me. That happened at creation. He went through there and Noah and the ark, boy, He provided and He saved Noah and his families, because you can trust God. That's why. And you read in Scripture, David and Goliath. Well, that was a big problem, but God came through there for David. Why? Because you can trust God. Abraham and Isaac with the ram caught in the thicket. He's going to kill his son. But no, you can trust God. He's got this. And He's got this in your life. Jericho. I want you to march around this wall. I want you to blow these trumpets and you're going to conquer this city. What in the world? I know Mad Dog and even today would never conspire something like that. And over in Afghanistan, let me just tell you right now, that was God's battle plan. Because you can trust God in your life with everything. Moses is back to the Egyptians with the Red Sea in front of him. Put the rod out! They walked on dry ground. Why? Because you can trust God. You can trust God. If you've not learned, you've not read your Bible, you've not lived the life, you've not prayed, you've not had the faith there in that. Noah's Ark, Gideon, the 300 men, Brother T.J. just preached on that. 300 men. The Bible says, I don't know, they didn't say how many men the Midianites were, but it did say that their camels were as grasshoppers. There were so many of them. 300 men, they split them up. Why did they win? Because you can trust God. With Daniel here, he was 10 times better. He was able to interpret dreams. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. And then here, out of the lion's den. Why? Because you can trust God. And I'm here today to tell you, whatever problem you're going through, you can trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. That's where it is right there. We get that stinking thinking. We think of the way to get out of the problem. And the way is just to trust in the Lord. Man says, show me and I'll trust you. And God says, trust me and I'll show you. There's a whole different philosophy there in Scripture. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, my strength and my weakness. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. In my life, personally, bill after bill after bill, God's taken care of. I wanted to go to the Philippines and God provided a way for that. And I got there and I needed to spend some money. It was about $300. And I raised that. I didn't have it, but I raised that money. And I cried as a man placed $300 in my hand in the Philippines before I even came back here. I could trust Jesus over and over and over and over again. My wife is my biggest answer to prayer. I prayed for her right there 8 straight days. That's the spot if you're single, right there. And if you want a good one, right there. I specifically told God what I wanted. To the T, God provided that. I can trust Jesus. You know, God, recently we had an answer to prayer in our home. We've been praying for over a year. God answered it this week. You can trust Jesus. You can. You can. If you're hurting tonight, the Lord is nigh. If you're tempted tonight, He makes the way of escape. You can trust Him. There is a way out on that temptation there. So I said number four, he had an excellent spirit. Number five, trusted God. Number six, Daniel took many stands for God. He had to take a stand. If you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. Some of you don't have a stand for anything. No one knows. If you love a good lawn, you got to hate weeds. There's got to be things you're against. I hate sin. I hate alcohol. I hate drugs. I hate anger. I hate pride. I dislike the Lakers. You know, things like that. And I said that for you, Rob. Big Blazers fan back there. All right. Number next. He was faithful. Verse 4. We're almost done. For as much as he was faithful. Well, you don't have that talent, but Daniel here was faithful. I want the success that Daniel had. He was faithful. He was there. He was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He was the Sunday school teacher. Whatever he did, he was faithful with what he was supposed to be doing. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, with whom you're supposed to be doing it. And I love the faithfulness of the members of our church and the Sunday school teachers and the bus captains. They just get up and like clockwork, they're faithful, faithful, faithful. I think of Brother Vestal for 20 years who has stood by pastor's side, and he is a faithful man. Hey, the faithful man shall abound with blessings. Hey, you don't want to be faithful because you don't like the flour and you don't like the oil, but you like the chocolate chip cookies. Why don't you put in the work to get it? Number 8. Daniel did not let his circumstances define him. He overcame being a victim of circumstances and found victory through his circumstances. Do not let your circumstances define you. Now, there's two kinds of circumstances. There's problems that you created, and then there's problems that just come in your life. John Wayne said, life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. And, right? We've all done stupid things. I have. Did today. Ask forgiveness. Moving on. It's under the blood. Alright. But the circumstances in life should not define you. If you're paralyzed, if you have a disease in your body today, if you're financially unstable today, that should not define you. That you should move on. I press toward the mark. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. You're trapped in a chain of your mind about your past and the circumstances. Boy, sometimes we'll deal with families in the bus ministry and we'll hear something from a child that you would... Where did that come from? It came from mom and dad who's culturing them to think they're a victim. Now, there are victims out there, and I'm not downplaying that. But let me just tell you this. You don't promote negative in your home. You don't speak a lot of negative. You deal with it, you counsel it, you get over it, and you move on. But you don't teach your kids that they're victims. Teach them that they can be victorious. That's what we need. Number next, 9. He let God take care of the haters. I thought about changing that. I'm like, no, that's me. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. These are the men that made the law that you cannot pray to any other god. What's the first thing that King Darius did after Daniel got out? Let's read that. Verse 24, Daniel 6:24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all of their bones, 206 each, in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. There will always be opposition, especially if you make a stand. Especially if you try to do right. I'm amazed at his spirit. I'm amazed that Daniel had the purpose. He knew what he was doing. He gave the credit to God. He knew how to pray. He had an excellent spirit. He trusted God. He took many stands for God. He was faithful. He didn't let his circumstances define him. And then he let God take care of the opposition in his life. Hey, it's going to be okay. If I lost my job tonight, it's going to be okay. God is always taking care of me. And when you see that, I gave you a list of things in Scripture that God has taken care of other people. And then I listed a few in my life. And no doubt you can put a few in your life where God's taking care of you. And if you go back in your mind and visit the times that God's taken care of you, and as you read through Scripture, see what's happening here. Daniel was okay. He was a long way from home. He was captive. God elevated him. He was faithful. And God blessed his life. Lessons from Daniel. Boy, it's a great book. And only six chapters in.